Canto 11, Chapter 20. Trikanda Yoga. Bhakti surpasses knowledge and detachment. Sri Uddhava said, "The Vedic literature of Your Lordship, O Lotus-Eyed One, that pays attention to the injunctions concerning actions and prohibitions, deals about the good and bad sides of karma, akarma and vikarma. They also discuss the differences within the Varnashrama system, wherein the father may be of a higher Anuloma or a lower Pratiloma class than the mother. They are about heaven and hell, and expound on the subjects of having possessions, one's age, place and time. How can human beings, without your prohibitive and regulatory words concerning final beatitude, tell the difference between virtue and vice? The Vedic knowledge emanating from you offers the forefathers, the gods as also the human beings, a superior eye upon the not for everyone that evident meaning of life, what would be the goal and how we may achieve. The difference between virtue and vice one can see with the help of your Vedic knowledge, and that insight does not arise by itself. But the Vedas also nullify such a difference and thus clearly confuse the issue." The Supreme Lord said, "The three ways of yoga I described in my desire to grant human beings the perfection are the path of philosophy, jnana, the path of work, karma, and the path of devotion, bhakti. No other means can be found for one's emancipation. For those who, disgusted with fruitful labor or sacrifices, forsake such activities, there is the yoga of spiritual knowledge, and for those who have not turned themselves consciously away and do feel for material happiness, there is the path of karma yoga. When it happens that in a person who is neither averse nor very attached, faith awakens in my narrations and such, the path of bhakti yoga will bring perfection. For as long as one is not fed up with one's material life, and no faith has awakened in my discourses and listening, etc., one will have to continue with one's fruitful labor. Someone will not go to heaven nor to hell, O Uddhava, if he holds on to his prescribed duties without deviating and free from ulterior motives is of worship with performing sacrifices. When one, existing in this world, free from sin, is situated in one's duties and is pure in one's motives, one obtains transcendental knowledge and eventually Maya Bhakti. Just as the residents of hell, even the residents of heaven, desire for this planet Earth that is so conducive to the spiritual knowledge and devotional service, effective neither in hell nor in heaven. A wise human being should not strive for hell or heaven, nor for this planet Earth, because one gets bewildered when one enters a physical body. Even though the body is subject to death, it brings the perfection of one's life purpose within reach. Someone who knows this should therefore, before he dies, attentively endeavor for transcendence. Not being attached, a bird attains happiness after giving up the nest it made in a tree that was cut down by some messengers of death. Knowing that with every day and night, one's lifespan is shortened likewise, one is beset with fear. Free from attachment, though, one with the intelligence of transcendence being without desires, attains perfect peace. A person is the killer of his own soul when he, in this well-suited boat of the so rarely attained but naturally acquired physical human body, does not cross over the ocean of material existence, being propelled by the favorable winds that I am and with the spiritual master as the captain. When a yogi, disgusted with material endeavoring, being detached, is in full control of his senses, he has to concentrate his mind to stabilize it with self-discipline. The mind, being narrowed down to the spiritual platform, should, when suddenly being drawn away, carefully, according to the rules of the game, be brought under the control of the self. When one conquers one's breath and senses, one should not forget, what the actual purpose of the mind is. With one's intelligence perfect in goodness, it should always be led back under the supervision of the soul to be its servant. This restraining of the mind with the intimate confidentiality with which one also constantly observes a horse that one wants to tame is what is known as the most supreme practice of yoga. By analyzing how all the different elements of matter and the fields and principles of spiritual knowledge cohere and are in conflict, how they originate and how they are lost, the mind should be kept attentive until spiritually satisfied. The mind of someone who, guided by the instructions of the spiritual master, being disgusted, got detached, will by analysis of and meditation on what is perceived, give up its false identification with matter and the body. The mind must not be focused on any other practice than on the austerities and procedures of the Eightfold Yoga Method, on logical analysis and spiritual knowledge, or on the exercises of respect for my form, thus on Trikanda, threefold yoga, karma, jnana, or bhakti yoga. When a yogi, out of negligence, commits a reprehensible deed, he should burn away that sin by means of the yoga method only. Never at any time he should try this a different way. When each is firmly grounded in his own position, one speaks of virtue. But because of the nature of karmic activities, one is impure in one's engagement. Driven by desire to put an end to those impurities or destabilizing attachments, one consequently, with this rule of virtue and vice by me, then arrives at the needed niyama regulations. When faith in my narrations and disgust with all karma has awakened in someone, he, the Atma Anandi Bhakta, knows that his lusts are the root of his misery, despite his lack of ability to fully renounce them. Even though sometimes being engaged in them, he should remain happy and resolute in that faith, worship me, repenting the sense gratification that makes him unhappy. All the lusts a devotee has in his heart are destroyed when his heart is firmly established in me by constantly worshipping me in the bhakti yoga as described. The knots in the heart are cut, all misgivings are in shreds, and the chain of fruitful actions ends when one sees me as the supreme soul of all. For a yogi connected in my devotional service, who fixed his mind on me, for that reason, generally, neither the path of knowledge nor the path of detachment from fruitful activities is the way to become happy in this world. When one happens to desire heaven, final beatitude, or my abode, that what is obtained by fruitful action, penance, the cultivation of knowledge and detachment, that what is achieved by mystical yoga, charity, religious observances, auspicious actions, or other methods, will, by my devotee, easily be achieved in being engaged in my bhakti. Saintly persons, well-versed and skillful, devotees fully dedicated to me, never desire anything but me, I who grant them beatitude and freedom from birth and death. It is said that it is best not to desire anything, so that with the one who does not seek any personal gain, that with someone who is fully independent, the bhakti unto me may arise that grants the greatest happiness. With me, the unfavorable qualities of the modes of nature, like bewilderment, slowness, and restlessness, cannot again manifest themselves in pure devotees, because they, free from desire, under all circumstances, are stable in their consciousness. They now belong to those who moved beyond that what can be understood with a materially motivated intelligence. Those who follow these methods I have now instructed achieve the security of my abode in the direct perception of that what is the absolute truth.